Ezekiel 48. Here we have the final reality that could have happened had the exiles been obedient. I've been arguing throughout that Ezekiel 40 to 48 is commandment rather than prediction. It's called in chapter 43 the law of the house. And the exiles who are with Ezekiel are urged to make careful note of this prophecy and go and be obedient to it. But they didn't. And so much potential was precluded because of that. I'll give you one little example. Here in Ezekiel 48, the 12 gates of Jerusalem are to be named after the 12 tribes of Israel. When you read, however, in Nehemiah about what actually happened when the exiles did return, yes, 12 different gates are mentioned, but they are not named after the 12 tribes of Israel. There's the Valley Gate, the Horse Gate, the East Gate, the gate called Mifkad, the Water Gate, the Dung Gate, Fountain Gate, the Gate of Ephraim, the Old Gate, the Fish Gate, the Sheep Gate, and the Prison Gate. So they didn't obey what they were told to do. And that is why I think that when some kind of a temple was built, some people wept when they saw that, no, we just have not been obedient to what God asked us to do in Ezekiel 40 to 48. Others rejoiced, just glad that they had their bit of religion, that they had some sort of building for their religious stuff kind of thing. And therefore, the huge potentials were just not realized. And the greatest potential was in verse 35. The name of the city from that day shall be Yahweh is there. The cherubim of glory have been seen in Ezekiel, at the beginning of Ezekiel, progressively leaving the temple out through the east gate of Jerusalem and then going away from Judah. And then they land in chapter 10 in Kibar, by the river Kibar in Babylon, amongst the exiles, amongst the Jews that had been taken captive, and Ezekiel was there with them. And in chapter 11, we read of how he was to be what is called a little sanctuary, or a sanctuary for a little time. And the cherubim, as it were, landed there. The presence of God was there. Ezekiel was there as a priest for them, but they had no tabernacle furniture. There was no ark, for example. There was no veil, there was no religious paraphernalia, just the presence of God with broken exiles, with broken captives, with a young priest to look after them. Yes, that was the little sanctuary that God intended. But the idea was that if they repented, as Ezekiel kept urging them to, then after what's called a little while in Ezekiel 11, the glory the cherubim would return along with them to Zion, and they would restore Zion, and God's temple would be built there, and he would dwell within it, and it would be called, as we read here, Yahweh is there. But that didn't happen. There's no reference at all to the Shekinah glory actually returning when the exiles returned. And in Haggai, he complains that you're more interested in building your own houses than you are in building my house. And that's a huge challenge to us. And he says, if you had focused on building my house, then I will appear in my glory. That's Haggai 1 verse 8. This is the idea here, that Yahweh will be there, and that is what the city shall be called. God says in Zechariah 8 that if they were obedient at the time of the restoration, I will come and dwell in the rebuilt Zion. Yahweh is there. Now, all these things didn't come about. And yet, I suggest that the spirit of these prophecies has been recalculated and reapplied, because at the end of the book of Revelation, you read in more symbolic language of how when Jesus comes back, then there will be the city of the New Jerusalem with these gates, etc. And God himself will actually be there, and we shall see his face. So through all their failure to rise up to these potentials, there arose a final, more glorious reality. That means that we, as the true people of God, will finally see God for ourselves. Yahweh will be there, and we shall see his face, we read, and he will wipe away all tears from our eyes. Not just from our faces, but from our eyes. We will see God. And God is real, you know. We are in the image of God. He has some personhood. He is not simply a cloud. He is not simply an idea. He's not an abstraction. He's not a puff of smoke. God is an actual, corporeal, actual being. And we are in his image. And Job and many of the righteous looked forward to the day when, as Job says, I shall see him for myself, and my eyes shall behold him and not another. Now, that is the light at the end of the tunnel of this life, that finally we shall see God. I shall see him personally. As Job says, my eyes shall see him and not another. In other words, it'll be totally personal, him and me. And that is the picture at the end of Revelation, when finally Yahweh will be here.